Hello and welcome to the final episode of this series of Talking Balls with me, Adam Lindsay. We're recording this the day after a number of FIFA officials were arrested by the FBI in relation to allegations of racketeering and corruption. The world governing body has said this weekend's FIFA Congress and presidential elections will still go ahead. In fact, they've confirmed that Guantanamo Bay will be the venue for all future FIFA Congresses for the next 30 years. FIFA insists the arrests are actually good news. They've been trying to get anyone in the US to pay attention to football for decades, and now they've clearly succeeded. And Steven Gerrard has brought his Liverpool career to an end ahead of his move to LA Galaxy. The club arranged a number of tributes to mark the occasion and reflect his time at the club in a fitting fashion, which obviously culminated in two humiliating defeats to mediocre opponents. Joining me this week, the only three men who have won more league titles between them than Steven Gerrard, Andy Platt, Alex Winter, and Dougie Walker. How are you all doing?
Good weekly.
Very well.
That was obviously a superfluous only there that wasn't actually in the script. Basically, everyone has won as many league titles as Steven Gerrard has.
I think it's a comfort to me that when I feel a bit low about myself, I sometimes think, well, do you know what? You're doing as well as Steven Gerrard.
Yeah. You can put it on your CV.
It's not much.
Achievement.
But it's something.
I've won as many Premier League titles as Steven Gerrard.
I'd like to mention my karate trophy at the age of 8 years old right at this point. So, guys, I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's good. Well done.
Yeah, thank you very much. I got up to brown belt at the age of 10 years old. Thank you very much.
Wow. Is brown belt good? It sounds
pretty
like
good.
Sounds
pretty
like
pretty
shit
good.
Belt.
Yeah. It does a bit, doesn't it? We go through all the colours, and there's like 3 browns and 10 blacks. So I got up to the first brown belt by 10 years old. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah,
really.
It's good.
If you want to disagree with me, just do it at your own risk.
I think LA Galaxy are beckoning.
Yeah.
My favourite thing about that whole Steven Gerrard, obviously there was just a slew of Steven Gerrard stories in the media, like 100 Steven Gerrard stories. And the best one was from the BBC, was his career in football cards, football stickers. 17 years, one haircut.
Yeah.
That was my favourite thing. And it was just so, I mean, the man was consistent, both in his winning of league titles and his haircut.
Yeah.
And then I also really liked the Who Was Better, Gerrard or Lampard article that they had on the last day of the season, in which Gerrard lost 6-1 to Stoke and Lampard scored for Man City. I was just like, well, that's that.
Yeah,
answer.
Yeah.
Did they compare the amount of trophies that they both won in their Premier League
they
careers
did.
As well?
I did see that, but it wasn't Lampard didn't like trounce him as much as I thought, because obviously there was like the...
Well, they've won an equal amount of Champions Leagues.
Yep.
They've won an equal amount of Europa Leagues or UEFA Cups.
Yep.
And Frank Lampard's won way more Premier League trophies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. What about FA Cups? Has Steven Gerrard won any FA Cups?
I think they're probably about equal, or Liverpool have maybe won more. Because Chelsea haven't always done too well in the FA Cup. It was one of these weird phenomenons of the early Jose years, that he would win the League Cup and the league, but not the FA Cup.
I think he won the FA Cup once in his final season, Mourinho, and then he left because he didn't win the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Grand. Anyway, so as we are alluding to there, it's the end of the football season. It's that time for reflection and relief that we don't need to pay attention to Steve Bruce for another 12 months. Oh. Unless you have the unfortunate situation of having to pay attention to the Championship for another 12 months, like I have to, unfortunately.
That, what are you talking about? The Championship's the greatest league in the world, mate.
It is, especially now that Sean Dyche is back.
Oh, yeah.
So the
Football League Show
has a point.
Yes, more.
Yeah, just for those. And they might be the featured game every now and again they're probably the best team in the Championship.
Quite likely.
So we might see a disproportionate amount of Sean Dyche.
He is hoping.
Yep. Anyway, let's have a little look back at the season through this podcast. Let's start off with the news that Jose Mourinho was named as Premier League Manager of the Year. He obviously won the title at a canter this year. But there were other candidates there. So it made me wonder, did Jose deserve to win Premier League Manager of the Year? Andy Platt.
On the whole, I think yes. For me, it's between him and Nigel Pearson, and they're... It's got to be Jose Mourinho. You can't give Nigel Pearson an award. No. Like, it's just simply, you just can't. I mean, after that end of season sort of rant that he had, I know he had a great sort of performance with this team, and he won many games, but you can't go off on a rant like he did and get manager of the year.
He has been an absolute arsehole of the season, basically.
So you just can't give it to him. So then you look at, is it Gary Monk?
But do we take into account how big an arse you are in regard to how good a manager you are? How many times did Alex Ferguson win manager of the year?
Well, when it comes to Jose Mourinho, did it count, really? Yeah. Like, the guy is a bit of an arse, but he's really good at what he does.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
That is a point.
So it was a tough one for me. Sort of, then you've got, obviously, you go into the sort of ranks of Monk or Koeman, and that, then it's just, I think it's just those four really you can sort of argue about. And
I think you're missing the big one, personally.
Pardew,
Alan Pardew. You know, we know my opinions on anyone ever associated with Newcastle United, but Alan Pardew has basically saved two teams from relegation single-handedly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
yeah.
you know, John Carver did nothing to save Newcastle from relegation. It's all Alan Pardew's points there. He has saved Crystal Palace. You know, when he took over, I was at the game where Neil Warnock got sacked. And literally, they were awful. They were in the relegation zone. I just assumed at that point they're gone. They are nailed on for relegation. He's gone there, and they finished 10th. Yeah. Not just survived, finished in the top half from that position in such a short amount of time. You add the points that he's won with Palace and Newcastle together, and you're looking at a Champions League challenging team there from Palace and Newcastle. It's mental.
I think the only thing that really goes against him is the how long he was in charge. I mean, Pulis came in and he had a bit longer, didn't he? And he was in the relegation zone. I'm quite deeply in trouble when he came in. Whereas I don't think Pardew had as many games really to sort of say, well, look what I've done. I've got him into the top 10.
The other thing is, if we remember the first part of Newcastle season, it was woeful. Mm. It was so bad. And yeah, then they went on that crazy streak. But there was a point early in the season. It's weird. Early in the season, there was a lot of talk about Newcastle going down. Yeah. And then at the end of the season, there's a lot of talk about Newcastle going down. And there was this whole bit in the middle that we assumed it was going to be fine. But yeah, his performance at Newcastle was far from exemplary. But then, yeah. So my thing with Jose is, I don't think there's been any point in the season where he's been the best manager. Right. I think at the first half of the season, you'd have to say that the best managers were Koeman and, as it pains me to say it, but Big Sam. West Ham.
Absolutely, yeah.
And in fourth at Christmas. Yeah.
They're staying up because of Big Sam.
Well, I mean, they after Christmas, after New Year, they just... Yeah. Something happened and they just... totally died. But that first half of the season, you're like, right, who are the best managers at the moment? And it just, those were the guys. The second half of the season, I think the best managers were probably Pardew and maybe Wenger. Arsenal went on that crazy
From the 1st of January, they've lost three games, haven't they, Arsenal? But then they haven't achieved anything again. I mean, they got to the FA Cup final, fair enough, but that's not the measure of success for Arsenal.
Can you give manager of the year to someone who...
No, but this is it. So this is what I'm saying, though. I wouldn't say he was manager of the year, but for the second half of the season, he's been arguably the best manager. Maybe Pardew, maybe him. They've been the best managers. So there's been no point in the season where you're like, yeah, Jose Mourinho, he's the one, he's kind of the best.
Absolutely.
So maybe you would say, well, because of his consistency over the season, he's the... Which is kind of fitting, I'd say. I'd say that Jose Mourinho might be manager of the season in a really boring Chelsea kind of way.
Can you give it to him for having the best end of season speech, for example? Which was fantastic.
That was a really good end of
speech. That was a brilliant end of speech. He just basically said, look, we just did better than you guys.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, you did all right, but we were just better.
Yeah.
Everything you did, we did better than you did. And like, Chelsea aren't, on paper, they're not a brilliant team. They've got a few very good players, but culminatory, if that's even a word. if I can just throw that out there, guys.
Yeah.
He's brought something extra to them and made all of them into being these fantastic players. And like, who would have ever thought that John Terry would play every minute of every game this season at his age? But something about Mourinho has brought that out of him and made this amazing backline defensive team.
Yeah.
Like, he's done very, very well. Like you say, over a season's worth of doing well.
Yeah.
Like, within a particular week, I'd say manager of the week. But over the season,
he just did well in such a boring way. And I know this is something that people say about Chelsea. I know it's something that Adam gets pissed off.
They haven't been boring all season either.
Well,
they've been boring since they lost to Tottenham. when they got devastated by Tottenham, it's almost like he had a deal with Roman Abramovich at the start of the season, going, right, I'll play the way you want us to play. I'll play attractive football. They played bloody brilliant football in the first half of the season. Mm. Amazing. They demolished teams. They were playing this lovely passing football. From the moment they lost there, it's like he then said to Abramovich, right, we're doing it my way now until the end of the season, and I will win you the league title.
Or did he play a photo? Did he play a video of Arsene Wenger for the last 10 years and say, "Want us to play like that? No trophies."
Yeah,
there
maybe.
You go. So, but no, absolutely. I think you're right. That New Year's Day game against Spurs was a real sort of highlight of where the weaknesses could flow from Chelsea's team if they didn't start playing the way that Mourinho likes. And I think you're right. From then on, there was no real stopping them from sort of late January onwards after getting the FA Cup out of the way and getting knocked out in that. But
I did totally interrupt your point.
Well, I just think, you know, it's they, you know, he knows how to win games. It's absolutely true, and that's one of those things where it's a debate that just goes on and on, isn't it? I'd hate to be a Chelsea fan. I'd hate to be a Chelsea fan because you know, you've won, but it's the same as being a West Ham fan, right? Just like
except with a lot more success.
Oh, we won the game, great! Like, I would rather. I always think, and this is a few seasons ago now, but Blackpool, when Blackpool were in the Premier League and they were losing game 6-4, that was, I would have rather been a Blackpool fan losing 6-4 and, you know, going to see my team and seeing, I'll see 10 goals. And six of them were against us, but my God, what a game, you know?
Whereas you go and see Blackpool now and see 10 goals and they're all against you. So I don't know. I think the other thing is, how do you measure success, like as a Premier League manager as well? And it's about the resources available to you, which obviously Mourinho and Pellegrini has like an abundance of, and people like Koeman.
Well, that's why Koeman
didn't really. So
that's why Koeman, I think, is so impressive, is because he was starting from scratch, right?
Absolutely, he'd lost, you know, six of his sort of key players. But the issue with Koeman is that he had such a good flying start to the season, like good 15, 20 games, and then they just lost the plot. So there was no consistency through his management through the season. If they'd finished where they did at the end of the season, but were, you know, that their form wasn't up and down, then he might have been in with a shout. But because they had that really sticky period where they just lost the plot through about sort of two thirds of the way through, that sort of ruled him out, I think, of any managerial award.
Yeah, possibly.
So. Yeah. Who's been consistent then throughout the whole season? I think Swansea have been consistent.
Well, I think Gary Monk has got a good shout. Chelsea, Swansea will never finish eighth ever again. It's a ridiculous, you know, they were in with a chance of qualifying for the Europa League through league placing until the second last game of the season.
They
and they've played well. They've played some good stuff. They were god awful at Palace on the last day of the season, but they had nothing to play for anymore.
It's interesting with Swansea though, because you look at Laudrup's record when the season he won the League Cup and they finished ninth, and this season they finished eighth, and a lot of people are raving about Monk. But I know people were saying, well, Laudrup's done a really good job this year, but not in the way that they're saying, oh well, Monk's gotten to the highest ever Premier League position. But
I do think there's a slight, it's not racism, but I think people always think better about English managers than they do foreign managers.
Absolutely, and I mean the good thing for Gary Monk is they didn't qualify for Europe next season, because that was effectively one of Laudrup's downfalls, apart from his agent obviously being got rid of by Swansea for their, I don't know what he did for Swansea, he was their player recruitment, wasn't he?
But yeah,
he
was Laudrup, bought a lot of bad players.
Yeah, so I mean that was one of the issues, but the other thing was that Laudrup suffered because Swansea were in Europe, so so I think that's a good thing for Monk.
Moving on then, so you know, there's so many different candidates. It is one of these weird seasons. There isn't an outstanding managerial candidate, so I don't think we're going to come to any type of final decision on who deserves it. But looking at Player of the Year as well, obviously Eden Hazard has won both Player of the Year awards. I think justifiably, he has been the best player in the Premier League. Is there an issue though that him winning it so easily and so convincingly, and no one having any question about it, showing that we're actually way behind the other leagues in Europe when it comes to the quality of players we have available to us at the moment? Alex?
No. I mean, maybe the fact that there wasn't an English team left in the Champions League after March the 10th. Probably shows that a little bit, that maybe we're not as up there with some of the other teams. But Eden Hazard's played fantastically well. And put him in any team in Europe and he would do really, really well. Because, you know, maybe you look at with loads of stats about how well he's done compared to Bale this year. And Bale's maybe scored more goals and done more assists and so on. But that's not necessarily Hazard's game. He creates everything that's going on in that team, and he'd do that in any team. He's fantastic. So I don't think like he's an indicator of us being behind Europe. I think there's probably a few others.
That was going to be my point. He's got a very similar record to Bale, and it's widely acknowledged that Gareth Bale hasn't been good this season. And so if you know Real Madrid's fourth best player is scoring as many and assisting as many as Chelsea's main creative force.
Well,
does that say, you know,
maybe Bale has done well this year, and it's just that, you know, Real fans just will not accept anything other than excellence.
But let's put this in context, you know, because we've just finished saying how Chelsea play a certain type of football under Mourinho, or at least in the second half of the season they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hazard is in a team where his manager has obviously told him. Or not told him specifically, but they told the team, look, right, you know, yeah, we get a goal and then we'll protect that, and we're not going out there to win, you know, 4-0 or 4-3 or, you know, whatever. Like, he's in a team where there aren't as many goals and assists as there might be.
Yeah.
With a different kind of manager.
So do we think Eden Hazard is as good as Cristiano Ronaldo, Luis Suarez, Gareth Bale, Ibrahimovic, and, you know, players like that, even.
As in, like, Ibrahimovic as he is now?
Yeah,
absolutely. I think Hazard is definitely in the top three. I think he's behind, he is behind Ronaldo and Messi. I think he is quite understandably, I think he's the third best player in the world at the moment. And if you look at his stats, I mean, he created more chances than, I think, Ronaldo and Messi, didn't he, for Chelsea, despite, I know they're not assists, but
I haven't seen that, I don't
created
know.
More goal scoring opportunities than they did,
yep,
for their teams. It's not his fault that maybe he hasn't got the clinical people up in front of him. He hasn't got a Suarez in front of him to slot away. Diego Costa wasn't fit all season, you know, so maybe if Costa was more fit, then he would have had more assists, and we might have been talking a bit differently about statistics. Also, there's a lot about how unselfish Hazard is when it comes to like being in front of goal. He does sort of set up his teammates more, and maybe that's something he needs to bring into his game. I mean, I think it was Paul Scholes that raised that issue, and I think that's quite a valid point, that he needs to be a bit more, you know, assertive in when he's taking goal scoring opportunities, because he has got the finishing capability to put them away. So that's something that might come into his game. But somewhere at Real Madrid or Barcelona probably would give him that freedom to do that. But as you rightly say, Chelsea play a different style, so he's not necessarily got that
still
opportunity.
Still pretty young, isn't he, as well? Like,
yeah, I think he's
again,
like
a couple of years under Mourinho, he could be, you know, doing all those things, scoring all the goals and being more free and fluent and so on.
Did he absolutely deserve to win Player of the Year, do we think? I'd have personally gone for Alexis Sanchez.
I was going to say, I'd have put in a shout in for Sanchez.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I think Hazard, I would maybe give it to Hazard, but I don't think it's totally clear cut. Mm. I think Sanchez was...
Absolutely. They're the two, aren't they?
Sanchez was fantastic this season. And a lot of Arsenal's success when it came was through that.
He carried them through a period when no one else was really doing anything.
Yeah.
It was just him, and he was just scoring every game.
Like, Ozil had terrible dips in the season. And then moments where he was playing great. Cazorla, terrible patches. Other great. And then Sanchez was strong throughout, I think.
Absolutely. And the measure of success is like a trophy. And at the end of the day, Chelsea won the league and Arsenal didn't. So, and I think if it'd been the other way around, then we'd be talking about Sanchez.
If Sanchez, you know, Sanchez scores the winner on Saturday.
Well,
you know, who knows?
Nah, it's not going to happen.
You think it's going to be?
Do you actually think you might?
Ashley Westwood.
You think Theo Walcott will score the winner, or a first half hat trick?
It's going to be 5-0 down at half time.
Do you actually think Aston Villa have a flying chance at all of winning on
Saturday? Of course we do. Like,
but you've been awful
we
for
have
the last few weeks.
For the last
Wigan
two games.
Beat Man City.
Absolutely.
You know?
And Wigan got relegated that season, so, and they lost. So that's
true.
So, I mean, it's the FA Cup. Look, Arsenal, of course, are by far the clear favourites. They've got the better team. They play the better football. But it's the FA Cup, isn't it? It's the FA Cup final. Mm. We've got a chance. I mean, as long as like we're supplying Benteke with chances, that's all we can hope. The issue we've got is our defence at the moment is woeful. And
I do love the fact that Benteke is now again being talked about as a £30 million striker on the back of about five good games.
Yeah, absolutely. Just
he's been woeful most of this season, and all of a sudden he's scored in a few games, and Liverpool are going to pay 30 million quid for him. I really hope Liverpool do pay 30 million quid for him.
Absolutely.
And get in Derek Origi, who's just been voted in the worst team in France this season.
Brilliant.
It would be great. And Balotelli, there you go. There's a strike force for next season. Yeah.
Is this how... Because I have, as I've said before, I've not been a football fan that long. And I've always wondered how Emil Heskey happened. Like, how did that come to... I saw the end of that, where there was no way to reverse engineer how he'd come to that position. And is this what happens? Is it a Benteke type situation where Emil Heskey once in the mists of
five weeks of the past had one great season
and Emil then Heskey had two shaky seasons
Heskey
after that?
Heskey was never as prolific as Benteke.
Yeah.
Has been,
like, but he was quite prolific in his first couple of seasons at Leicester.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's three seasons, but not,
and
it.
Then he went to Liverpool and it was just like, oh no, he is Emil Heskey.
So almost exactly like this then. You're going to have Benteke... one amazing season, then a couple of seasons where he has a few sparks of brilliance, and then he's going to go
is
Liverpool.
Is he as bad as Benteke?
No, not yet. This is what I'm saying. Will 5 years from now, will Benteke be Heskey?
No, Benteke's clinical, Heskey isn't. So like, they're different types of players.
It's a weird definition of clinical, given how many goals he'd scored in the previous 12
months. You're looking
months.
At a guy that was out for like a good like 10 months with a pretty serious injury. He was rushed back because we were desperate, and then he got pretty much, he was unfit for the first 8 games, and then he lost his confidence because he wasn't scoring because he wasn't fit. And so Sherwood came in and obviously changed his the mindset, and that's all he needed really. So I wouldn't say that. I think it's pretty harsh to say he was awful, because he was coming back from an injury, and he was rushed back because we were desperate.
And he had
Paul Lambert.
He had Paul Lambert as his manager.
That's the other issue,
which was a little bit of an issue.
I think we've got a chance, but it's all going to be about defending well in the first half. I think, because Tim Sherwood can really gee us up for the second half. If we go in level at half time, we've got a good chance, I think, in all honesty.
Cool. All right, let's leave that there then. We'll have a bit more of a review of the season in a minute's time. But let's move on to the talking point, where I hand the floor over to one of our guests to talk about whatever they want to talk about, normal or bizarre. This week, it's the bizarre, I imagine, coming from Mr. Douglas Walker.
Right. It's something that I have been noticing for a long time in football, and I've never quite put my finger on it, and I can't quite get to grips with it, and so I thought I'd throw it out to the Talking Balls panel and Talking Balls audience, see if we can come to terms with this as a phenomenon. And that is the eerie, can anyone do like a little bit of sort of Twilight Zone type music?
Do Steve Keen?
Yeah, that's
mega bassy. that almost sounded like, Fabric on a Friday night.
So, in the English Championship, there are currently, or next season, there will be 7 teams whose names begin with a B.
What?
7 teams. This is not even the peak of the B-named teams in the Championship. There was, I think a couple of seasons ago, there were 8. But next season, there will be Brentford, Burnley, Bristol City, Blackburn, Birmingham, Bolton and Brighton in that division.
Wow.
And, there are times when you can look at a fixtures list and it goes, B, 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 and jumps straight to S, because there's just no one else. There's no one in between. And that, I think, has always been an odd phenomenon. I went and had a look to see, if there was any other weird sort of patterns like that I can notice. And it seems to me that the Championship, it's not just that there are a lot of teams in there with B, they seem to have a kind of magnetic force. So Burnley went up last season, they got out. Instantly they've been pulled back down. Mm. Bristol City got relegated, but the draw was too strong and they've gone back up. Bradford, a team that should not be challenging for playoff spots, are just still inevitably drawn towards those playoffs. They didn't, you know, did they finish just outside this?
They finished just outside.
But they were drawn all the time there. So, you know, and I looked at where the teams are, beginning with B.
And if Brentford, didn't they nearly go up?
So Brentford,
yeah, but they failed, didn't they?
But they didn't.
But you say they were drawn. They were they near, got drawn weren't up, they?
Exactly.
They were close.
No, they
right.
got last season. Yeah. They got drawn up from League One. Yeah. They, you know, before that game against Middlesbrough in the playoffs, you knew straight away that they weren't gonna.
Or if they did go up, they would only last a season.
Sure, but I think the pool was too strong. I would even go as far as to say that Middlesbrough, we're never going to beat Norwich.
Well, because we're Borough.
Because you're Borough. That's what yeah. That's mm-hmm. what I'd say. Look at, you know, and the pool goes quite far. Mm. Promoted from League Two this season were Burton and Bury. Promoted from non-league were
Bristol Rovers
and Barnet.
Yeah.
It's all the bees. They're flocking towards the championship.
Something has changed.
So then I went and had a look at League One to see if there's any similar phenomenon. And in League One this season were Chesterfield, Coventry, Colchester, Crewe and Crawley. Five C teams. Now, Crawley did get relegated.
Yeah.
But let's just see if they go straight back up. So we've got all the Bs in the championship, the second tier, the second letter of the alphabet. All the Cs seem to be in League One, the third tier, third letter of the alphabet. So then I thought, well, let's look at the A's. Let's see if all the A's are in the Premier League. There are only three teams starting with A in the Football League. Accrington are in League Two. So you begin to think, well, that's not really. But in the Premier League, Arsenal, Aston Villa, they're the longest serving members of the top tier of English football.
Yeah.
They're unshakably there. So you've got A, B, C in the leagues. League Two, surely all the D's are going to be in League Two. But unfortunately,
we've
got Derby in the Championship, we've got Doncaster in League One, and then we've got Dagenham and Redbridge in League Two.
Right.
So the question I feel we have to address is, what is wrong with League Two?
What is wrong with League Two?
Why is that magnetic pull for the D teams? You know, there seems to be some Illuminati shit going down here, right?
Yeah.
There seems to be some powers beyond our. You know, I know that FIFA, you know, there's been a lot of talk of corruption recently.
Mm.
But I still don't think there can be an all-pervasive system in place to keep B teams in the Championship, C teams in League One. You know,
man, if we're talking Illuminati,
so what is happening?
They're only going to be interested in like the slightly higher leagues, aren't they? Anyway, there's no money in the
league. It's all-pervasive, Alex. This sort of thing. Like, they're trying to control like
Premiership,
all
yeah, but you know, if it's probably lots of Illuminati controlling a few Premiership teams.
So you think there's too many,
too
many competing
Illuminati.
Yeah,
and then they're like, okay, we're going to make a lot of money out of Championship right now because this is where the big betting's going on.
Yeah.
They've all taken over the Championship clubs. They're just that level of rich. There's a certain richness you need to be and a certain richness you can't be. And in the league, in the Championship, I'm trying to justify this for you, Dougie. I'm doing my best. Like, in the Championship, they're at that right level, that kind of Mason's level of Illuminati. Maybe not quite like right up there in the top tier, with only like two of them, Arsenal, Aston Villa. And in the Mason's level of Illuminati, there's more of them can afford to own teams.
Yeah.
They're right there in the Championship. Okay. A couple more in League One. League Two, they don't even bother about. They're not even worrying anymore. And I think you're right. I think it's all a conspiracy. And I think it's all Illuminati.
Yep.
And I've just worked it out from the amount of money that they all own.
Yeah.
Done.
Wow.
Yep. Deal. Have you seen any weird patterns in any sports?
Well, I was thinking about Crystal Palace. We were sort of just talking about it a minute ago. I was thinking,
just their existence.
Yeah, just
that's
what
weird, isn't
what
it?
Doing. But you had last.
It's a weird building, and now it's the whole team.
Made a football team. Bizarre. But last year, obviously, they, you know, Holloway went and they brought in Pardew. This year they had Warnock.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, they brought in Pulis. This year they brought in Pardew. So is it because they want someone in charge with a P? halfway through the season. Yeah.
So yeah, every year that manager leaves in the summer. They replace it with a failed championship manager.
Absolutely. So
that goes wrong, and they replace it with
Paul Parker or something next year.
Paul Parker.
I don't know.
There must be a more relevant P.
Manuel Pellegrini.
Yeah.
When he gets sacked.
Once he gets sacked, yeah. He'll just rock up.
Palace. That's my bold prediction.
But then, by my theory, Crystal Palace should be heading towards League One.
Yeah.
So, you know, something's gone wrong there.
They maybe
well.
Are, very slowly. Mm. Chelsea should be as well.
That's true. I didn't even write down Chelsea. I've got a list of all the teams that begin with A, B, C, and D, but I forgot to write
Perhaps
Chelsea.
Steve McLaren is in on it because Derby were flying, and then he looked at it and thought, bloody hell, hang on a minute.
No, we're going down.
League Two.
That's it.
We've got no Ds. We've got to stop this. And
possibly.
Much the run they were on after Christmas was relegation form. So.
See, I had one which made me utterly convinced. I was so convinced about this when I was whatever age I was in 1998. France 98, long time ago, wasn't it?
Oh, France 98.
It was the greatest theory, and I was absolutely convinced that this meant that England were going to win the World Cup. Because if you take the middle point as being 1982,
oh, yeah, I've heard
when
this.
Italy won the World Cup, then either side of that, 78 and 86, Argentina, either side of that, 74 and 90, Germany, either side of that, 70 and 94, Brazil, go back to 1966, England. Yeah. So it was just right there, sat there. Yeah. But what I think it still actually worked, except that, you know, it was God punishing Glenn Hoddle for his horrific views, that he went, right, we're gonna finish this weird business now.
Because of Glenn Hoddle's sins in a past life.
Yeah, exactly.
He got punished by God.
Yeah, and God threw out that.
God controlled David Beckham's foot to come up and trip over the Argentine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
That was my theory.
Surely then Uruguay have got to be in the running for winning a World Cup pretty soon.
Well, yeah, in about 20 years' time.
No, less than that. If it was 66 in 88, then 62 in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, in fact, they should have won.
Yeah,
should have
won it. But it also went wrong in that Brazil didn't win. No, they won 2002, but they didn't win 2006.
Right.
For the theory to have won, it would have been Brazil 2002 and 2006.
I'll tell you where it went wrong, is that it's balls. That's where it went wrong, wasn't it? It's so close, but it was balls.
Fair enough. But this little B theory, I think we're
although, I have just noticed that next season, League One is doing a bit of a, you know, next season there'll be seven in the Championship, but there'll be five in League One.
The interesting thing about the B thing, not just about the promoted teams, beginning with B, is that you had not only the Championship, League One, League Two, but you also had obviously the Conference, but then you had four divisions below that. All of the winners of the league all began with B, like Burgess Hill,
really?
I think, were one of them. Yeah, Bromley. There was literally, I think the eight tiers below
something's
the Premier
happened.
League.
So, you know, the thing of they say that, sports psychologists say teams that play in red win more than teams that play in blue.
Yeah.
I think football teams beginning with B. More successful. Brazil, most successful world.
If you take the Championship as being the height of success, then yes, teams beginning with B are more successful.
The Championship is the most exciting league in the world.
Perhaps
so.
That's what Hull City should change their name to instead of the Tigers. They should have gone for something beginning with B.
Well, the
ball bags.
They should the Bull
Hull City ball
the
bags.
Bull Tigers.
On that note, we'll
move changes,
on.
It changes the meaning
IPL
of B
team,
doesn't it? Playing for the B team
ball
should actually be the height. You know, that is what most footballers are aspiring to.
Yeah, you've got a very good point.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. We'll leave that there. And let's move on then.
Well, I'd like to point out, actually, just one last thing. On
okay.
That. I do want to point out, for any listeners who are like, what the hell was that? Adam sent me a text the other day being like, what was that mental thing you said around your house the other day?
Yeah, we were just hanging out.
And I was spraffing on about this. And he was like, and then a few days later, he was like, what was that mental thing you said? Can you do that on Talking Balls? I was like, what, the thing about Tim's beginning with a B? He was like, yeah, do that. So, you know, I'm not accepting full responsibility for this.
So, yeah, that was my idea. Anyway, let's move on to our final look at the greatest team and worst team in the world. Who needs the Champions League when you've got this, to be honest. And an interesting end to the greatest team in the world. So we left it with Juventus last time. We thought that would culminate in maybe the Champions League winners being the greatest team in the world, but unfortunately not. They drew 0-0 with Monaco in the second leg of their quarterfinal of the Champions League. Then they lost 2-1 in the Turin derby to Torino. So Torino became the best team in the world. They drew 2-2 with Palermo, but then lost 1-0 to Empoli. Empoli, greatest team in the world, congratulations. Next game, they lost 3-2 to Fiorentina. To regain the title. They've had it already this season. Then they had their nice little second leg of their Europa League semi-final with Sevilla and lost 2-0 to Sevilla. And Sevilla have been on a mad, crazy run of form. They beat Almeria 2-1, Malaga 3-2, and then beat Dnipro 3-2 in the Europa League final to end the season as the greatest team in the world.
So that does have the interesting eventuality where the Europa League champions
are the greatest,
are the greatest team in the world.
And the Champions League champions.
Can we not just extend it to like the Super Cup like season?
Well, maybe that's where we start it next season. Yeah. Given that it is the Europa League and we usually start with the winners of the Champions League, maybe let's just leave it until the European Super Cup. The winners of the European Super Cup become the greatest team in the world, and then we start off.
That'll have it work anyway, right?
Well, but you have a couple of league games before.
Where is Sevilla's pre-season tour going to happen as well?
Well, I've also...
Pre-season tour is into account.
I've got this written down here. They are due to play Brighton in a pre-season friendly.
Oh, here we go.
Hey.
Brighton, a team beginning with B, you say?
Yeah. Oh, hello. Best team in the world. Hi.
Yep, they're going to play Brighton in a pre-season friendly at the start of August. So,
well, we await that.
Can we actually have a day trip to that as well? That'd be quite fun.
Yeah, worst team in the world was left with Dumbarton. They had two more games. They lost 2-1 at Quinlas South and drew 2-2 with Raith Rovers. So Dumbarton finished the season as the worst team in the entire world. It's a shame, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, quite like
it's
Dumbarton.
A shame it wasn't Rangers.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's that. We'll pick that up again next season. Let's move on then to the ridiculous punt. No, not Sepp Blatter. It's our regular feature where I find a weird story from the world of sport, turn it into a question, pose that question to the panel, and they have to tell me what the story is. Simple, eh? So this week's question is, how has an Olympic gold medalist lowered his family's dental bills? Alex.
Was it the retirement of gold medal winner Audley Harrison? He's no longer going to get smacked around quite so much, and the dental bills are going to just fucking fly out the window. Something like that, possibly.
That's probably true. It probably has saved Audley Harrison's dental bills quite a lot because he's not going to get the crap kicked out of him anymore. But that's not the answer.
Oh no!
Unfortunately,
damn.
I had a boxing. I wondered if it was a boxer, and he's just knocked all the teeth out.
Yeah,
he's just punched them all in the face in order to knock the. You know, they asked him to, not like violence, just like he's just like they've all got rotten teeth.
Not that.
Mine was going to be similar as well. I had the same thing. He lined up the shot putter, lined up his family in a row, and chucked the ball at them to get rid of their teeth.
So none of the correct answers, but your two, Andy and Dougie, are quite close. Just need to change the discipline.
Is it tennis?
No.
Oh.
The hammer?
Is Kim Sears his dad?
Think about what
dentist
could be used. So he's using the sporting discipline, but adapting it somewhat. Doing it to them in their normal form, like punching someone in the face or throwing a shot put at their face.
That doesn't happen in Olympics. They have to get the shot put to a distance.
But,
he's
doing the thing and he's adapted it a little bit to for exactly the same point.
Javelin.
There we go.
Alright, okay. what javelin players do we know? Javelin throwers do we know? Like, I remember Roger Black.
Was he using...
Who else has before?
Roger Black.
He was a runner.
Bannister.
Bannister was also a runner.
No, who? What was it? Backley. That was
Backley,
it. Steve Backley.
Steve Backley.
It's Brian Clay.
Brian Clay, obviously.
He wasn't just a javelin thrower.
He was a javelin thrower.
No, he was a multi-sport.
Oh yeah.
Oh, decathlete.
I don't know which one he did exactly. Heptathlon. Okay. He was the 2008 heptathlon Olympic champion. So he decided to remove his daughter's loose tooth by by attaching a piece of string to the tooth and then throwing the javelin. He didn't just do this.
He
filmed it and put it on Twitter as well.
Oh.
He definitely didn't want social services coming around his house. He did post on there saying, "Don't worry, the tooth is safely under her pillow." Didn't mention whether she's okay.
Come for that.
Yeah. But his daughter did look pretty unfazed. Basically, the tooth was launched 30 metres across a field. And she was fine. She just stood there and it just came right out.
Do you think this is a standard parenting technique they use? Like, you know, when they have to, like, take off a sticking plaster. I'm like, oh, it's better if you just do it in one quick motion, so I'll just tie the end of the plaster to this javelin, wang the javelin, and I'll take the plaster right off.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, it's safely under her pillow, and she'll be back lying on that pillow in about 2 months after intensive care, and then she'll get her 50p. Well done.
Yeah.
Javelin, nice.
Beautiful.
Hell. I'm astonished.
It is a hardcore way of going about removing a tooth. Anyway. Right, let's get back to our summary of the football season then. So at the start of the season, I get all you guys to do some predictions. Some better than others. So let's just run through some of the highlights of what people predicted this season. Most people said Chelsea would win the league, so no one gets any points at all for that. Adam Race, he got Burnley to go down right with that one, but West Brom and West Ham got those two wrong. Eden Hazard, he was right, though, with on Player of the Year. A lot of people said Big Sam to be the first manager to go. Mm. So I can't actually remember who was the first manager to go.
What did Pulis? Was that in season or just
I think it was
season?
Before season. I don't think Pulis counts.
Because we did the predictions, didn't we, before? Oh, I think you allowed us to readapt the
Yeah, yeah, because
that.
Of Pulis. Mm.
Can't remember.
Who was actually the first manager to...
It
went on for quite a while.
Yeah.
I remember it being, it took a while. It might have been Alan Irvin, but either way, it wasn't Big Sam. And he said that Ander Herrera would be the new signing who would have his biggest impact at his new club. So
he did score 6 goals from 7 shots on target this season.
Yep. That's quite good.
Impressive.
He should have just shot more.
On target at least. It doesn't say anything about his shots.
Shoot at the goal, he might get it in, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom. Steve Boniface, Chelsea to win the league, Bayern Munich to win Champions League, QPR, Burnley, and West Ham to go down. So 2 out of 3 for Steve there. Aaron Ramsey to be Player of the Year, which was a bit wrong, and Alan Pardew to be the first manager to be sacked. Top goal scorer, Robin van Persie, not very good there. He did get Liverpool's finish right, though, of 6th. Not many people got that right. Mm-hmm. And Manchester United finished 3rd. Arsenal fan Steve Boniface said Arsenal wouldn't win anything, which could still be true, because, you know, obviously Aston Villa are the favourites.
Don't undermine Ashley Westwood.
Yeah. he said that Cesc Fabregas would have the biggest impact at his new club, which I think I would say he has, given the amount of assists he's had. And his bold, unlikely predictions were that Joey Barton would go through an entire season without saying anything controversial. Which I think he's sort of managed. I think this has been the least controversial season
he's
from Joey Barton
out
we've ever had.
Yeah.
Matt Eyre, he's done pretty bad with the relegated team. Southampton, Leicester and Burnley. So he only got Burnley there. What else stands out here? Norwich, he said, would be the only team who was relegated last year to go back up. So he got that right. Rio Ferdinand to play 38 Premier League games, though, was his bold prediction. So that was a bit wrong, because he obviously played nowhere near. Andy Platt, here we go. We get one of you guys in. Chelsea to win the league, well done there. Bayern to win Champions League. Mm. Burnley, Leicester and Swansea to go down. You're a bit wrong with Swansea.
And Leicester.
Fabregas, Player of the Year. Big Sam to be the first manager sacked. Van Persie, top goal scorer. Yeah. Liverpool to finish 4th.
Did I?
At least most people said 5th.
Yeah.
4th? What was going through your head?
I don't know.
United to finish 2nd. Arsenal not to win anything, but obviously they're not going to, because they're going to win the FA Cup. Diego Costa, to be the biggest impact at his new club, which
pretty
I think that's pretty fair. Yeah. Diego Costa's been very good. You thought Fulham would go up.
Yeah, awful. Well, that was blown out of the water by September.
Yeah, and Rio Ferdinand will lift silverware. were you thinking his, you know, cutlery?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, like he'll turn to a life of crime and start stealing cutlery?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Awful. Petrovic, did he come up with anything weird? He thought that Villa, West Brom and Leicester would go down. He's just obviously got something against the Midlands
yeah.
in quite a big way. He said Alan Irvine or Sam Allardyce would be the first manager to be sacked. So
might have been right.
Given our collective amnesia of who the first manager to be sacked was, he may have got that right.
Probably is.
Edin Dzeko, top goal scorer. That was that was weak. He said none of the relegated teams would go up. His weird prediction was Harry Redknapp will get so desperate for players he'll promote Glenn Hoddle from coach to the starting 11.
Wasn't far off.
Not far off at all. Mr. Winter.
Oh, God, these were awful.
So everyone basically said that Chelsea would win the Premier League, except for old Winter Manchester United will win the Premier League.
Come on, guys.
You came so close.
I'm not one of the guys to go with the flow here.
Yeah. Real Madrid would win the Champions League, you said. Southampton, West Brom and Burnley to go down.
Isn't it just
Alexis Sanchez, player of the year, so pretty close on
all
that.
Right, not bad.
Alan Irvine to be first manager sacked. Yep. He did all right there. Yeah. Top goal scorer Diego Costa. He finished, I think,
third.
He did have injuries, and he was on form to be the top goal scorer. You thought Liverpool would finish fourth as well. What's wrong with all this? Will Arsenal win anything? Just the charity shield.
Well, there we go. Happy days.
That's great.
Neil Warnock, first manager to go.
Mm. Oh, yes.
He was just before Evan, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was what sparked them to sack Warnock, because they thought Pulis might go back to Palace, so they sacked Irvine. Yeah, I remember that, yeah. You thought Rojo would be the
I thought Manu needed a big defender.
They did.
To basically like boost the whole team.
And instead, they signed really an injury-prone like guy who played hardly any games.
I thought it was a good signing, but it didn't work out like that.
Yeah. Which relegated team will go back up? Cardiff. Solskjaer will do good things. That's an exact quote there.
Well, you know, it's a long time ago.
Is he
now
doing any good things in his private life at the moment?
Where is he? Is he
just hanging out?
Just sacked still.
Just doing his thing, hanging out.
And your... this is great. Your unlikely prediction. Brighton will be promoted alongside Cardiff. Yep.
Not so good.
What's that lower table on respectability of Brighton? Damn it.
Yeah. Pete Strong, strangely enough, just said who will be relegated? Burnley. Just Burnley. So he was wrong because two other teams were relegated as well. He did get Liverpool's finish right, though. Will Arsenal win anything? His answer, cups.
Cups.
not silver cup. He's going to win a cup.
Again, he's wrong.
Because
they can only win one cup, can't they? So.
Yeah. And he thought a top club would get banned from Europe over their finances. I don't think a top club has. No. A few other clubs have
not
been
aware of.
Hoyed out because of that. My ones, I've just seen it. Dougie didn't do it because he was a bit busy being extremely successful at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Although I do remember, because I feel like maybe I emailed you some predictions.
Should I try and find a separate email?
I mean, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But I do.
You don't want to be humiliated.
Oh, yeah. I definitely got most wrong. But I do think I said Ajoa would be the impact player. And I think that actually...
If you take the points that Ajoa
exactly,
has won,
I think,
but he hasn't exactly had a hugely successful season. He's had those points where he's won points for Leicester.
But that's it. He's scored, you know, if you take away Ajoa's goals, Leicester are relegated.
That's a pretty good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give you that. I can't find your predictions. If you did send them, they're not in my email inbox anymore.
I probably was very careful to
make sure they're not there. So I said Chelsea would win the Premier League and the Champions League, so I was obviously wrong on one of those counts. West Brom, Leicester and Hull to go down. So I'm the only one who got Hull.
Not bad. Mm. Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Right.
Aaron Ramsey would be player of the year. Big Sam or Alan Irvine as the first manager sacked. Sturridge, top goal scorer. That was a bit weak. Liverpool would finish fifth. Manchester United would finish third. I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
Arsenal wouldn't win anything, I said, so obviously I'm still going to be right here. Now, which new signing will have the biggest impact? Fabregas, I said, or Remy Cabella? To which he did have a pretty good impact, I think. A pretty big impact on Newcastle's season, because he spent most of their transfer budget and then did nothing.
Yeah.
Which probably resulted in them being in the situation they were in at the end of the season.
So, yeah, you're
Let's
right.
prove how hard it is to actually predict this shit, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, you know.
You know, I'm
who
paid
knows what's
to
know
who's
what gonna
going to
really,
on
like, yeah, who's going to really, you know, kick ass during the year or whatever. It is very hard to know who's going to step up to the plate.
Exactly. So, speaking of that, I want you all you guys to humiliate yourselves before everyone else does. Let's get some bold predictions of what's going to happen next season. Let's start with Dougie Walker.
I think, and bear in mind this is a bold prediction, I'm not putting money on this, but I think Arsenal might win the league.
I think you've got a point there. I think next season we're going to see a genuine four-way fight for the league.
I think because Arsenal, if Arsenal had started this season before December this year, they, you know, they'd have been pretty tough competitors.
But as Jose said in his end of season speech,
the
team in light blue wanted to outlaw defending. The team in red wanted to decide results by possession. And the team in red and white wanted the season to run from January until April.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you know, they might get it together now. They've gone in. So, end of season form.
Yep.
Quite often has a bit of a.
It does.
A kind of bearing on the start of next season. So I think they might start strongly, you know. And they've got a real good team. I said a few weeks ago on Talking Balls, when you look at the Arsenal team now. It's been a long time since you've looked at that team and gone, oh yeah, that's a good player. Oh, that's a good player. Oh yeah, they've got some good but at the moment they've got a set of real set of players. So I think that's a bold prediction.
Yeah.
My other one is I don't think Van Gaal will make it to Christmas.
Really? Wow. That's a lot bolder.
And I don't mean that he's gonna get sacked.
Oh. Have a heart attack.
He will be dead by Christmas. Van Gaal to die by Christmas.
Wow.
Look at that man. There's no way that he's healthy in any sense.
The amount of blood or strain on your heart you must have to pump the blood around that forehead.
Just and also just this like his skin is sort of sagging off his body as if I think his muscles are deteriorating.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so I don't think he'll make it to Christmas.
Fair enough. Andy.
But again, I'm not allowed to put money on that. No, I do mean that he'll get sacked before Christmas.
Yeah.
That goes against what I'm going to say, is that I think Man United are going to get to the Champions League final next year.
Champions League final?
So I was tempted to make a third bold prediction, which is that Man United won't make Champions League spot next season.
Yeah.
But I'm not too sure about that. But I think there'll
be a genuine four-team title race between the top four this season. However, the spanner in the works there is I also think Pochettino will sort Tottenham out this summer. I think there's going to be a lot of he's going to get in the players he wants. They're going to get rid of a lot of the dead wood. They finish fifth this season. They could kick on and actually get a Champions League spot next season.
That was my other prediction, that Pochettino won't be in charge of Spurs by Christmas.
Wow.
Oof.
Oh. The fans don't like him. The amount of times I've heard Tottenham fans whinging. I don't know who I hate more at the moment, West Ham fans or Tottenham fans. It's like, get real. Just pay attention to your results. But anyway, so United will make Champions League final.
Yeah, I think so. I think the main reason behind that is I think Europe is where Van Gaal is going to be best place. I think he doesn't know the British League very well.
Nope.
He's sort of adapting to it still. But Europe he does know pretty well, and he knows how to manage those big occasions. And I think they could do all right. They've got a decent squad, United, and they're only going to add to it. They've got players that are probably more suited to the European style. So I think he could push them on. I'm not going to go as far as I'm saying them win it, but I think they'll get to the final.
Yep.
But yeah.
Alex.
Well, I think next season, my first prediction is that, and it's a biggie, that Southampton will be wearing the tightest tops in the Premier League next season. They're getting tighter every year, if you've noticed.
Right, I haven't. But
catching up with the rugby players here. They are. And let's face it, what man or woman amongst us wouldn't want to see Graziano Pella wearing their tightest socks? Oh. The guy's beautiful. I'm going to say, man crush. So that's my first prediction. They're going to want to win something. It's going to be the tightest tops. Secondly, this is based on kind of nothing, but I think Chelsea will not win the Premier League, but they will win the Champions League.
Ooh.
Because I think Mourinho will be going for bigger fish next year.
I think he really wants Champions League again.
Yeah. I think Premiership, obviously, they'll be who they are. But I think he's going to major go for the Champions League.
You just
League
need to see where teams' priorities. You know, obviously, Arsenal are really going to go for the Premier League next year, and it might just be one of them ones that they're just better in the Premier League and go out in the quarterfinals of the Champions League like they always do. And Chelsea are actually better in the Champions League. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that Arsenal are going to be a much better team than Chelsea. It's just teams' priorities might be a little bit different.
So. And also, based on almost nothing, I think Rodgers and Pellegrini will both start as managers next year, but one of them will be sacked by Christmas, I think, as well.
I think Rodgers is not long for this world, but I don't think that's...
I don't think that's in the Lou Van Gaal way?
Yeah. But I don't think that's a bold prediction. I think it's just obvious.
I don't know if Rodgers will make it.
I'm not sure he'll make it next season.
I think he'll start, but I don't think he's going to come.
The interesting thing is to see if Brendan Rodgers ends up back at Watford before the Christmas, because they won't have... Well, Jukanovic is gone, isn't he? So they won't have... Whoever they put in place won't be there before Christmas at Watford. And Rodgers,
they'll go through four managers next season, I think, Watford again.
But Rodgers has got history at Watford.
Yeah.
He'd be out of a club at Liverpool, probably.
He could go there. Mm. It's a chance. My bold predictions are West Ham will go down.
Oof.
They haven't got a very good team. And you get rid of the one man who's making that team into what it is, which is Big Sam. Replace him with maybe Slaven Bilic, who hasn't got a very good record in club football.
No, he hasn't.
Have all these elevated expectations. A Europa League campaign to throw in there as well. I think they're in trouble. I think West Ham will go down, which will be fittingly brilliant just before they move into the Olympic Stadium.
They're playing nice football.
Yeah.
Going down.
My other prediction is that Raheem Sterling will play 35 games or more for Manchester City next season.
What about
everyone's going on? If he goes to City, he's gonna not play. He will. He will play. They're rebuilding their team. And they're rebuilding it in a way where they want to make it more fast and exciting. He will be a central player if he goes there, and I think he will.
Have you seen Benitez wants him at Real?
Yeah, but Benitez wants everyone. Benitez spends £200 million a season, you know.
Is Aquilani still around? Or bring him in.
I dread to think how much money Rafa Benitez is going to spend at Real Madrid, given the resources they have available to them. But, you know, David Ungog is available.
Yeah.
So he could get him in, bring him in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it then. There are bold predictions. That's this season done and dusted. We'll go on a summer break now. So we'll be back at the start of next season for season preview, and then straight on the Rugby World Cup. We're on exciting times.
Oh, exciting times.
It's an exciting year of sport next year.
It is. Going to be good. Anyway, over the summer we will be tweeting a little bit at Pod Talking Balls. We're on Facebook as well, just search for Talking Balls on there. There is also iTunes feed, but there won't be much uploaded to that team as we're going on a break, and the same with SoundCloud as well, search for us on there, but you'll have to wait till August until a new episode pops up. Have a good summer. We'll see you on the other side.